Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James with the rejection.
Welcome to the Chase Down on Almighty Baller Radio, part of Dash Radio. I'm Justin Rowe with my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, I gotta admit, I'm really happy that you took this position when it was offered to you, because it is really annoying when something just drags out for weeks. And I didn't have a plan B. I'm like the Cavs. I have no plan B. So if I haven't said it before, I appreciate it.
Well, not unlike Dan Gilbert, you probably alienated anyone worth having.
Oh, at this 100%.
Point. So I was probably the best you had.
Yeah, and plus you're like, okay, well, I can just easily talk over this guy. I don't respect him. This is a cakewalk for me.
It's really more about my platform than yours. Not unlike Chauncey Billups, really. I mean, the parallels are really starting to fly in because, you know, like Windhorst was talking about how Chauncey like wants to be like, wants this job because he liked the idea of like having more black executives in the league is really important to him. And to me, I just thought we needed more fake Cuban podcast co-hosts.
There's definitely been a shortage of that within the industry. I agree.
Actually, technically, outside of Levitard, that's correct.
Well, I mean, I don't think you want to draw a comparison to Levitard yet, because that's a high bar you're never reaching.
No, but I love it. I love that some Cleveland fans haven't figured out that Dan Levitard is amazing yet, because they're mad that he literally just lives in Miami, and like they still like have like post-decision resentment towards him. I think he's like the best guy working in media right now.
Oh, 100%. And he knows how to get under people's skin. But if you recognize that that's what he's doing, it becomes hilarious, because it's brilliant how he frames everything.
Yeah, his parade of gas bags after the Cavs won the title, which is the parade of gas bags is where they just run a bunch of audio from talking heads like Skip Bayless and stuff, just about how the Cavs were just done and they had no chance and LeBron was never going to win another title, and that, you know, Kyrie wasn't a winner, and like all this stuff, and like they just played it back and just cackled on their show. It's so funny.
The funny thing about that is how many of those sound bites are now being used once again after the Cavs loss. Like, once again, the conversation is, oh, Kyrie's not a winner, LeBron sucks, blah, 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 blah.
Like, yeah, you could probably just cue it all back up.
It's like they have the memory of a goldfish.
I'll say it's a little different this time, just because the Warriors are so good, but yeah.
But that doesn't make the Cavs bad.
Well, I just really think, like, people have their opinions, and, like, it takes almost no provocation to have them, like, fall back into them. Like, people might begrudgingly accept that they were wrong for a minute when it's, like, in their face. Like, Tristan was so good 2 years ago in the finals, so kind of this whole year everyone kind of just begrudgingly acknowledged that he's good, and then he has one bad series and he is hot garbage again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, guys, it's no, he's good all the time. He just had a couple bad games.
He had three finals runs with this team and has been great in all of those runs except for three games in the third finals.
Kind of makes you wonder if he should even get a contract after this one's done.
No kidding. Well, let's dive into the Billups weirdness, because it's just fascinating what's going on here. And I don't know exactly how to get a read on the situation. The Cavs are reportedly still in trade talks and trying to figure things out. If they do hire Billups, are they just going to leave Kobe Altman in the GM job, or are they going to hire someone else and that's going to be a completely different process?
Well, it certainly feels that way, but also that's kind of problematic, right? Because if you're bringing Chauncey in to be the VP of basketball ops, I imagine he's going to want to hire his own guy. Right?
And the best part about that is, it'll be like a day before free agency starts. Billups is going to accept the job, and then it's going to be, okay, well, now we're running a job search for GM as the free agent free agency starts. Like, it's ridiculous.
It just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And, like, yeah, you know, it just feels like someone in that organization knows something we don't with regard to how likely it is he accepts. Because, I think I was talking to Chop, Zach Friedland. We were just DMing back and forth about it, and he like said something along the lines of like, Gilbert is the least patient man alive.
Yeah.
Which is true. And like, I mean, it's just profoundly weird that they would just be waiting on, you know, waiting out Billups, who's just pondering the shit out of this.
Yeah.
It's just really odd. And like, clearly, this is the guy they want. I think that, you know, I think Chris has rightfully kind of, Chris Manning, our colleague at Fear the Sword, has rightfully kind of trashed the Cavs for only interviewing one guy. I mean, to me, I think that the way they've laser focused in on Billups, to some extent, is a reflection that they knew that this day was coming.
Right.
For a while. And a lot of the reporting around that kind of seems to indicate that this was not some huge surprise that David Griffin walked out the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was something that had been in the works for weeks. And Billups reportedly had been notified that this could be coming down the pipeline. It's just amazing, though, because when the Cavs fired Byron Scott, the next day Mike Brown, or like within the hour Mike Brown was hired, and it's like, okay, well, that's a very weird plan, but that's a plan. If Billups turns this job down and they don't have a plan B in place, it's going to look so bad. Because if you're, like, it might work out. No matter who they put in the job, it might work out. They're still going to get a blank check from Dan Gilbert to spend whatever they want. The lure of LeBron is still going to bring
just not
free
a blank,
there.
Just not a blank check for their own salary.
No. No. And LeBron's still going to be there to recruit free agents. But if you're like a process over results guy, like that's dysfunction and that's typical Cavs. Like they are settling right back into what everyone had perceived them to be for the better part of their existence.
Can I say that I'm kind of glad that LeBron, that the Cavs are already capped out and can't go sign any big name free agents? Because LeBron clearly isn't committing to staying long term.
Yeah,
because I remember how frustrating that was when, like, before the first decision, when there would be like pretty big names that were fairly available, and like the Cavs would approach them, and they'd be like, "Well, is LeBron going to stay?" And they're like, "We can't confirm or deny."
Yeah,
and they're like, Michael Reed, I'm not going to come to Cleveland then." So like, the free agents that they're chasing now don't need that commitment because they're going to be signing one-year deals for the most part.
Man, what a weird situation.
Yeah, you know what I keep thinking about? Like,
what?
It is pure, like the chasing Wade and Melo thing is totally so utilitarian, too. Like, beyond just, like, for basketball reasons. Like, LeBron loves Kyrie. He loves Tristan. He loves, like, this roster. And then you're going to add Paul George, his good friend, hypothetically. Melo, his good friend. And Wade, his good friend. It's really, we're no better than when the Raptors signed Jarrett Jack because they thought he and Chris Bosh were pretty close.
Oh, man. That was one of the best decisions I've ever seen.
Poor Jarrett Jack, man. I mean, he's an instrument of his own demise, but still. It's just like, I remember when they signed Jarrett Jack, and I thought, oh, that seems like a pretty okay idea. Like, he just had his career year, and no Warriors fans were sad to see him go even a little bit. And I was like, rut-row.
I'm really surprised Cavs Twitter has dropped the ball and hasn't been tracking Billups' plane and tapping into his phones. Like, I love the conspiracy angle. Like, I love that the theory that's going around that the Cavs have a commitment from Billups and that's why there hasn't been a plan B, and he's going around recruiting guys before free agency begins because it's not tampering if you aren't part of an NBA team.
Yeah, so let's, just for the sake of fun, to be clear, the David Zabex of the world.
We can do this.
Yeah, this is a stupid discussion, so just bear with us. Don't ruin it by taking it too seriously. But if we were to look through this logically, all right, the idea that Billups is tampering with specifically free agents doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? Because the Cavs are capped out, and they don't have – there's no one they can get that can be convinced, right? Like, I don't think that's – the angle. If I think if he's tampering, it's to put the old screws in Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah. Wait, but I mean, at the same time, wouldn't LeBron already be doing that? Like, wouldn't LeBron be like, hey, you're single now. You're not going to get left if you go to Cleveland.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that with the whole theory is that LeBron is the master tamperer. And players are really exempt from those charges, right?
I like the idea that Carmelo is like, okay, LeBron, I don't know. I'm just going to sit here in New York. I'm enjoying myself. And then he gets a call from Chauncey Billups and is like, whoa, Chauncey's in on this?
Well, now I'm in.
Yeah.
What if, and just bear with me, what if LeBron... I just finished Game of Thrones last night, so maybe it's on the brain, but what if LeBron pulled like a Game of Thrones-esque conspiracy to have the girl that Melo knocked up go public? Break up the marriage.
Where the Cavs have to operate, though. Like,
they got
to
be shady as shit. They got to be the little finger of...
Which is why the Chauncey stuff, the conspiracy that he's going around trying to get the temperature on certain free agents, tamper with Paul George and be like, hey, you know, you really can force this to go to Cleveland and do all sorts of shady stuff. And don't forget, Chauncey has big-time relationships with Denver, the third team in the rumored Paul George trade.
That's true.
He might be working all angles of this before even being an employee.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like he's just figuring out what he wants to do. Which, whatever. Do what you want. I think it's weird that the Cavs have given him such insane leeway so early to do whatever he wants with this, but I guess...
The simple answer is usually the correct answer, but it's also the lame one.
Yeah. So from here, David Griffin's probably not tampering, but if he is, he's totally recruiting Melo. There's no way around it.
Not that's, David that's, Griffin. Now you're just hurting
sorry,
me.
Sorry. Chauncey Billups. but you
Chauncey,
mentioned that,
David Griffin, basically the same guy.
Sure. You mentioned that Denver trade, the hypothetical.
It's lit.
It doesn't feel like it's happening. Varden kind of reported on it like it was dead, even though Stein and Haynes kind of reported on it like it was still going.
Mm-hmm.
This
version of the trade is probably dead, and now they're in a holding pattern.
So I think we should talk about Kenneth Faried. Because
Kenny?
Faried is not a very good basketball player as currently constituted. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair. His defense is just amazingly bad.
Which doesn't make any sense to me, you know? Like, ostensibly, he moves pretty well for a four.
Mm-hmm.
And are his arms super short? I don't know. Like, it's confusing to me because he should be a much better defender. He should be a much better defender just, like, even in, like, the Kevin Love's way where he, like, gets a ton of rebounds, so at least, like, ends the possession.
I know Denver guys were talking about him playing better defensive time this year, and it really does seem to be like a focus thing with him. I don't know how true that is or how much it matters. I do know that if he's a piece in this Paul George trade and we're sending him on Shumpert out there, I would much rather have Kenneth Faried than Shumpert.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair. I think that like what feels like a really negative asset to them is not such a negative asset to the Cavaliers.
Because we're going to be losing rebounding, and he's going to bring a lot of that as a big off the bench. Or
his wingspan's 7 feet. He's 6'8", but he's got a wingspan of 7 feet. He should be a decent defender. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
And if the Cavs actually want to play up-tempo, he's someone that's great in transition. He can be like Derek Williams if Derek Williams wasn't incompetent.
Hey, that's my guy, Derek Williams. That poor guy. He didn't deserve what happened to him. Got squeezed out of the rotation for a broken-ass Darren Williams.
God, Darren Williams sucked.
He was
good. In theory, that move worked so well, and it was brilliant, but it just didn't.
So I guess if we're going to talk, I mean, the Cavs...
We are going to talk.
Yeah, the Cavs are going to take on, in this hypothetical, Fareed and George. I don't think they'd get anyone else out of that, right?
No, absolutely not. And some people have come up to me and they're like, oh, do you think we could get Wilson Chandler instead of Fareed? I'm like, no, we're taking on Fareed because they want to move that salary, not because they're like, okay, we need to get Cleveland more value here.
Yeah, Fareed is a tax, and people need to understand that.
He's
kind
a
of like
tax that could help, but...
Yeah. He's functionally very similar to JR in that regard, except less hilarious.
Much less hilarious.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so frustrating. Why isn't he good? I don't understand it. He's a better defensive rebounder than Tristan, and he by percentage is as good or he's slightly better as an offensive rebounder than Tristan.
Yep.
And he still doesn't help. He's that bad on defense. I don't know. I just feel like, and this is such terrible logic, and we're doing this with all these guys that we like. But, like, he was so good at the 2014 Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Where
yeah, he was.
He was just this role player extraordinaire that just beat the crap out of teams, like, with his athleticism and rim running. And
a lot of the Cavs' hope and optimism about these guys comes down to how they play at Team USA. It's like, okay, we're going to get Olympic Melo. We're going to get Olympic Fareed.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie was on that team with Fareed too, right?
Yeah, he was. And Kyrie's awesome, so I think the theory is pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Kyrie's going to sit him down with a hookah pipe, and they're just going to talk things out, and they're going to figure out... Wait, I was almost about to suggest that Kyrie is going to convince him to try on defense.
That was not a smart tack to take.
That's not the angle. That's not the move.
Yeah, it just feels like a deal should be able to get done. But to me, if I'm the Pacers, if I'm Kevin Pritchard, I'm waiting till after free agency to trade Paul George now that the draft has happened. Because you have the real chance that Boston signs Gordon Hayward.
Right.
And if they sign Gordon Hayward, I don't know about you, don't you feel... Hypothetically, I know Ainge gonna Ainge, but hypothetically, don't you think that would raise their offer for Paul George to push them further into the wind now?
They have to clear salary too in that situation, so they'd be more inclined to send something out. Although at the same time, aren't you going to have a better chance at Gordon Hayward if you trade for Paul George?
But salary-wise, and this is great radio, but I thought salary-wise, they had to sign Hayward first. Is that not true?
It depends how much they send out in a Paul George trade.
Okay. Yeah,
like,
I don't
theoretically,
know.
Theoretically, if you're sending out Avery Bradley and other pieces, like, George isn't getting paid tons and tons yet.
Yeah, he's like $18 million. It's really not that bad. He's a legacy contract from before the cap spike.
And even with the pick, sending out $18 million in salary, if you're Boston, like, you can do that without gutting your team. And
they've got a couple weird contracts, like Tyler Zeller.
The Cavs' hope to make this work is basically that Boston's going to continue being like, well, no, we can't ever part with the Lakers pick or the Nets pick for next year, which is hilarious to me because if Paul George goes to the Lakers, your Lakers pick is going to be worthless. or close to it. It's not going to be a good pick. So it's in your own best interest to improve your future to trade for Paul George. Like, I'd trade the Nets pick.
Yeah, I still think you go the other way. I still think I would try to get assurances of signing Hayward first, because Hayward's going to be there for the long term, whereas I don't think Hayward will see George as that positive of an asset for him from a signing perspective, because George still might walk, if that makes sense. So you get Hayward, then you should be willing to sell the farm for Paul George, easily beat any other offer. And then you basically sell Paul George, like, listen, we're going to go to war with the Cavs with this roster. And I really think they could.
Yeah, for sure.
Are there some people that were saying they don't think they'd be that close to the Cavs if they did that? I'm like, they would be amazing. They'd be adding two top 20 talents without really gutting much of their core. And, like, they'd still have problems. Like, Isaiah Thomas would still be a problem on defense, but they'd be so much better equipped to handle it. And
Al Horford still creates issues.
Yeah, sure. Like, once again, they wouldn't be a perfect team, but, like, the way people talk about team building on Twitter sometimes drives me a little crazy, because it's like, well, I just don't think there's a 100% chance that they beat Cleveland if they do that. Well, no shit. There's no 100% chance you beat anyone. If you can get yourself to a 45% chance of beating Cleveland and a 25% chance of beating Golden State, you go do it. That's the point. That's why we're here. Like,
yeah, that's I don't know if I would go that high on those percentages. They'd have a decent chance against the Cavs. I would still pick the Cavs, but they'd have absolutely no shot against the Warriors. Like,
but you see my point. Like, yeah, for sure. It's a hypothetical. Like, if you can get yourself to a point where you believe in those percentages, you do it. It's never 75% or even 60%. Like, I mean, that's not how jumping to contendership works.
They do have all defensive team vote receiver Isaiah Thomas there. He might be able to shut down Steph.
Who can't in the finals, you know?
It's amazing to me that Isaiah Thomas got more votes than Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care about that. The award voting outrage is something that just completely flies past me, because I know who votes. It's like a Utah Jazz sideline reporter and like a play-by-play guy for the Grizzlies. It's like, these guys aren't watching enough. And and functionally, they can't. Like, unless they're like psychos, they can't watch enough basketball to do this.
Yeah, it's true. I just wanted to, like, kind of test the waters and see if I can get you outraged, because...
Oh, no. It just...
You're more interesting when you're outraged.
I just can't possibly care. It's so stupid. Like, have you ever, like, just tried to come up with, like, a first team, like, a second team all defense without doing research? It's fucking impossible. Because you have to pay more attention. You have to, like, really, really work at it and really watch to learn that stuff. Otherwise, you're mostly just picking names out of a hat.
You're like, okay, this guy sounds like a defender. Yeah, I saw him block.
He looked pretty good this year, from what I saw. You know, you have to be like a psycho to actually turn in a good second team all defense. And I just don't think 96% of the voters are doing that. Like, Zach Lowe and like Matt Moore might be like killing themselves watching film, but
yeah, they're out there working harder than everyone else.
Yeah, I only care about like first team or the all NBA teams, because those are like important for contracts. And then, like, MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, kind of. Everything else is just stupid. No one does their homework.
MVP was
stupid. It's like people don't do their research before they go vote for, like, local election. Like, when people go to vote for the president, they haven't done their research on the city councilman that's also on the ballot. But they're throwing their vote in anyway.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. It's the same principle.
Matter to their life, they don't do the research, so they're not going to do it for basketball.
Of course not. So I did want to talk about this because I didn't realize that this was even on the radar, but we talked about it in the DMs a little bit. If Draymond Green gets one more All-NBA or one more Defensive Player of the Year, he is now eligible for the $200 million Supermax.
I'm going to be standing for Draymond Defensive Player of the Year next year.
I'm going to be the biggest Draymond fan in the world next year. Because it is the Warriors, so everything always works out for them better than it should.
But Draymond's taking that money.
You would think he'd take the money. He's not going to turn down, even if he takes part of the money, that's going to be devastating. It's 50 more million.
He's
right?
A 6'4 center that's had back issues. He's going to take the money.
I mean, the thing is, it is fair to say that only the Warriors can offer the money. So if they just don't, does he just walk because of the disrespect? we've talked about how insane this cap number is going to be by the 2019 season when they have to pay Clay.
Yeah, well, Clay's gone.
I don't know, man. I remain unsure.
All the Warriors guys seem to think he's gone. It's just something that they've accepted. They know they can't pay Draymond and Clay, and Clay's the more replaceable player.
Here's the thing. I would never forgive my owner if they let any of those four walk. Would you?
What? Owners don't always build up goodwill.
No, as we know. But, if you let those guys walk, you're a piece of shit. You're a super trillionaire. The city pays for your arenas. Just do it. The same ethics and morals of business of the general idea that can't be in the red here. Yeah, you fucking can. It's basketball. That's the point. You'll sell this franchise for a 300% return on investment 30 years from now, or your kid will lose some fucking money. So
you move the arena out of Oakland to San Fran because you're good now.
Yeah.
If you're treating yourself, spend the money.
Absolutely.
I guess the theory is Pat McCaw is all of a sudden a future Hall of Famer, so they don't need Clay.
I'm sorry, did you mean to say Jordan Bell? 35th overall pick, Jordan Bell?
Oh, yeah, that guy's going to... They don't need to sign Draymond because Jordan Bell is the next one.
You know what? Even if Jordan Bell is good, screw NBA Twitter.
That was the most ridiculous shit.
Oh, woe is me. It's the most absurd crybaby shit. And it's just guys, he's clearly, even if he ends up being pretty good, he will be bucking the trend in order to become so. He went 35th. It's not like he went 6th and someone just oh man, I just think these three guys are better than him. 34 times he was passed over. And sure, sometimes that produces Draymond Green. Do you know how often that produces Draymond Green? 0.00000001% of the time.
Yeah.
It normally produces James Michael McAdoo.
Which Steve Kerr would take in a heartbeat.
So, I don't know. I just think... I just hate it when NBA Twitter does the thing where they don't even believe what they're saying at this point. They're just, hitting the beats. It's like a stand-up who's, just done... Jerry Seinfeld has just done the same hour for, 10 years. And he's just gonna hit the same beats.
I think a lot of people don't make decisions for themselves, and they just go with whatever the group think on Twitter is. They don't know how good a player is defensively, but if everyone tells them that they're good defensively, all of a sudden they're locked down. If they see people reacting, oh God, Jordan Bell's going to be a superstar, then they're like, oh man, how did the Warriors let this happen? Or how did the league let this happen?
I would love to know how many East Coasters stayed up till 2:30 in the morning to watch Pac-12 basketball to watch Jordan Bell.
Well, I mean, we know that people do the research.
We know that for a fact. Yeah, people are ridiculous.
Okay, so before we wrap this up, let's run over Cavs rumors, and I want you to know, I want you to tell us, future Cavalier or nah? Paul George.
Future Cavalier.
Dwayne Wade.
Future Cavalier. That one is actually a stone cold lock of the week.
Carmelo?
Like, come on. Ah, future Cavalier.
Yes.
I think the world is stupid, and the NBA, like, gods provide the dumbest outcome. And that's so ridiculous and silly.
You know, it's very true, and the other thing that's almost always a guarantee is NBA Twitter getting mad that the Cavs lucked into a situation.
Actually, what they're doing right now is pretending that Carmelo Anthony isn't good.
Which is ridiculous.
So I actually look forward to those same people acting like that it was some great failure of the Cavs that they didn't win with Melo, despite the fact that they don't think he's good. Like, of course Melo is good for free, for the minimum.
Like, he still has a lot of, he still has gas in the tank. He's a Hall of Famer.
People are so stupid. They're like, oh, they need, you know, the Cavs just gave up 130 points a game and they're going to chase an offensive guy. Yeah, because he's fucking good at basketball. He's better than Richard Jefferson. What's wrong with you? Are you stupid? He's Carmelo Anthony on a conceptually minimum deal.
He's worse defensively than Kevin Love? Like, he should, in theory, be more mobile.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's a minimum contract.
That is the bottom line.
What is wrong with people? It's like NBA Twitter is so incapable of nuance with so many like basketball zealots that like just have this like dogma that they can't differ from, that they genuinely think that there's no difference between trading Kevin Love for Carmelo Anthony and adding him to the team at all.
For free.
For free. For the minimum or half your mid-level exception.
For what, like, we gave up for Deron Williams.
It's just free. Like, I don't know what you do with people like that. Like, sure, you can argue the extent to which he will help will be limited compared to, you know, what the biggest Melo stands among us might think. Like, sure, he might not be like an all-star, but right, to indicate that he wouldn't like help at all or make them better.
Man, how fun would a Kyrie, Paul George, LeBron, Melo, Tristan lineup be?
It'd be ridiculous. Hell, take Tristan off and put LeBron at center and Wade at shooting guard. Like the shit
that
they
would
could
be
do
the,
is,
that would be the funniest lineup in the history of
it'd
the
NBA. It'd be so silly, and that's the kind of shit I like to see. I don't know, like, you just think that, and then the Wade thing, like, sure, he's not great anymore. Don't get me wrong. Like,
no, he's bad.
Like, I don't know if he's bad.
He's bad.
He has moments, but when he's your eighth man, fine, it's fine. I don't know, man. I just think people don't contextualize this stuff. Like, sure, they're probably not getting any of these three guys. Like, just the odds say that, but so pretend like Carmelo Anthony can't help a team on a minimum contract.
Never tell me the numbers. Never tell me the odds.
Yeah, like that. People are stupid. You're stupid if you think that, and I'm sorry. Riled up. We got there.
Honestly, if the Cavs' hope for getting Paul George is basically that Boston continues to be cheap and Indiana just says, okay, well, fuck it. Because the deal in theory makes a lot of sense with Denver.
Totally.
If no one else is offering anything great.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer this drags on, the lower Paul George's trade value is going to be. And that just, the Cavs basically just have to sit and wait and hire a goddamn general manager.
That would be a good first step before free agency.
I mean, in theory, we got 4 days here. Let's play the final round of Cavalier or nah. In the next 4 days, will they have a GM or nah?
Yes. Maybe. I don't know, man. This team is exhausting. But they're ours.
You know what? That sums it up, and that's a great place to wrap it up. So thank you to all our listeners. Remember that you can like and subscribe us. Leave a review. It's the best way to support the show. So I would strongly encourage that you leave a review. So we'll be back again next week, hopefully talking about the next general manager. Hey, who knows? Maybe this might be the first episode of the Chase Down that we've had that just becomes completely dated an hour after I post when we sign Chauncey Billups and trade for Paul George. Let's hope for that.
We'll record a new one if so.
Crap, I don't want to do more work.
Sorry.
Anyways, that's our show. Thanks again, guys, and as always, go Cavs.